Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be unto you all, thanking Allah, His Christ, and their servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, for being with all of you once again on this ninth day of December 2021. Welcome to Ask Minister Ava on the Elevated Places Network. I am your host, Sister Ava Muhammad. I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, who is on the move again. And also we will be joined momentarily by our legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, who has a very busy law practice and also serves as moderator of Tuesday Nights, A Time for Justice, right here on Elevated Places Network. And I'm just grateful to both of them for making themselves available in the way they do. And, of course, we can't go any further without thanking our beautiful, brilliant sister, Rona Muhammad, our executive producer of Elevated Places. It is in the 10th year of broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com/ Elevated Places. And of course, many of you have already called in and the lines are filling up, about to reach their limit shortly. And that number is 563-999-3065. 563-999-3065. We are all still giddy with joy from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's confirmation that he will speak live on the 27th of February, 2022, delivering the Savior's Day message. This will be our first in-person Savior's Day since February of 2020 due to the COVID-19 virus. We did not have Savior's Day in person in February of 2021. We did host a virtual event. There were some people in attendance on location at Mosque Mariam. In 2022, we will host our own Savior's Day, meaning we will control it, and we will do something we haven't done in years. I remember way back in the day when we had just repurchased the National Center, Mosque Mariam, in the Muhammad University of Islam. And it was first in October that we met in the tents outside on the lot. And then in February of 1989, we dedicated the mosque. And so now we are back on the grounds. We're going to put up the large tents where we're capable of seating several thousand people. It's going to be amazing. That's all I can say. I don't want to sound like former President Donald Trump, but it's going to be amazing. February 26th and 27th, Saturday the 26th, which is the actual birth date of our Savior, Master Fard Muhammad, and the 27th, that's Sunday, the keynote message of Savior's Day will be delivered by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And we were blessed again, Brother Terrence, that the minister spoke this past Saturday at the Nubian, the Nubian Leadership Summit. He gave the keynote address for that phenomenal event, and we're going to focus on that tonight. And we're inviting our callers, and we thank them for their patience each and every week, because sometimes we get caught up in our topics and we're only able to take a few calls. We're going to take as many as we can tonight for you, the callers, to weigh in on your thoughts and what Minister Farrakhan's message left you with that he gave this past Saturday to the Nubian Leadership Summit. Also, remember that your new copy of the Final Call newspaper, number one newspaper in the world, because it is truth from cover to cover. And this week's cover is A New Day in Barbados. Barbados has cut ties with the United Kingdom, and it has become a self-governing. The process of separation is taking place organically, even though some of us continue to cling to our former slave masters. So we're going to talk about that as well. And Minister Farrakhan's message to the Nubian Leadership Summit is reprinted in this week's paper. His message on the vision for a nation. It was incredible. But I'm not going to jump the gun, Brother Terrence, and get in it. And I know you are actually on the West Coast as we speak. I would love to be out there. And so you may not be able to be with us the entire program, but I want to get to you because I'm grateful, as we all are, that you are on. And it's not Elevated Places if we don't hear something from Brother Terrence. So the mic is yours.
Well, praise be to Allah. And let me just throw up the W's West Side. Yes, I am on the West Coast in L.A., and doing some wonderful retreat work with my with the work that I do. But let me first start saying that, you know, we're thankful and grateful to be here once again on a Thursday night. And always, you know, everybody I was working with said, look, I know we're going to do our program, the next program later, but right now I got to step away from all of y'all because Elevated Places, as Dr. Ava is on right now, so everything else got to hold, got to be paused, got to freeze, to make sure I do this show, at least jump on and say some words. And we're always grateful and thankful for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And it's very, you know, it's very serious that we listen and pay attention to the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And, you know, I keep saying, and we keep saying, to listen to the words of the minister. Go back and study the July 4th, 2020 message, the criterion, from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that will give you your marching orders and directions for what you need to do in this day and time that we live in, as well as the special COVID section in the Final Call newspaper, to give you a lot of updates and to give additional and great and extra information on the current issues and the plans that have already been put out about what's going on around this issue of COVID-19. And, you know, it's deep, Dr. Ava, because as I'm in these sessions out here in L.A., one of the things that somebody mentioned that was so profound is that he said that we are living in this day in the minds of, and, you know, he just used this small example of those 10, 20 years ago. So when we look at, you know, we look at gentrification didn't just pop up overnight. There was some urban planning to look at how they was going to develop the land, what they wanted to see on the land, and what needed to be done to buy the land, to take the land, to change the layout of the land. So that was a 10-year, 20-year process. So we were looking at the mind, or we were living in the mind of somebody that planned what they wanted to do with not only a particular area, as we see gentrification taking place in black communities. And I just say that God saw us and he made a plan. So even though we think that there are urban planners and there's people that are planning and we think they know what they're doing, there's an ultimate plan for us, and that was in the mind of the originator for us to be at the top and be at the head. So we will be the winner. We just now got to implement the plan that was already put into motion to survive. And the minister is connected to that plan, and he's giving us guidance so that we can be the winners. So I would say just listen to the guidance. Listen and read the Final Call newspaper. And then you can come back on Friday at 7:30 p.m. Go to NOI.org, and let's study together. Let's have our study group. Let's self-improve ourselves. And as well as Sunday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, you can go to NOI.org and watch. But our minds and study groups are open for you to go live in person and hear these life-giving teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And as well on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., if you want to be at home and go to NOI.org and hear Farrakhan speaks, you can, or again, visit your local mosque or study group. So, you know, it's very interesting, Dr. Ava, the thing that's been on my mind. I was wondering, you know, what I was going to talk about, and, you know, what I wanted to share, you know, on the show. And I said, I'm not going to be long, but as, you know, as I'm out here, you know, one of the things that we kind of close out our session, because this is the last day I leave out tomorrow, but we was closing out with be creative. Center yourselves and care. And I say that is that when we are so bogged down on the day-to-day, you know, one of the beautiful things about the minister is that he has the mind to create and to think, because he's not boggled down by everything else, that we have sometimes lost the creative mind. So some of us do not see the possibility of creating our own world, creating our own society, creating this own world. So one thing we know is this world that we see. So we lost that center or that ability, but we need to center in what we want to do, and that is our own nation, and we must center separation. And then we need to make sure that we care for ourselves, and as we're living in a world opposed to the way of God that kills our spirit. But that's why we need to do what's necessary. So as I was out in L.A., I went to, and it just ran out my mind, but I went to, and I got up the beach, Bruce Beach, that was back to the people, you know, and I went out there and I saw just the whole neighborhood and how it's different. And this was the beach that black people used to own. This is the one that black people used to go to, and this was the land. And right at the marker, it was very funny, Dr. Ava. When I went to the marker to take a picture at the marker at Bruce Beach, I looked and I saw this little white lady sitting down with her little dog. And I said, like, ain't this, I can't believe it. You know, right there at the marker, she's sitting down, but we used her to take a picture of black folks standing by the marker. Yeah, take our picture. Get up and take our picture. And I say that jokingly because, you know, it's amazing that we can go across the country and just look at all of the land that we used to own, the places that we used to populate. And, you know, very, very soon we will have our own. We will repopulate our own, and we will not have that which we set up taken from us ever again. Once we establish our nation, once we establish the kingdom of God, we will be back by a true and living God. So I'm just excited that I know that as I saw the marker for Bruce Beach, that the land was given back, it made me just coming to this call with the knowledge and knowing that Project Separation is real. Project Separation is something that we will achieve, that we will do. And for those that want to make the exodus, we will be exodus into a world, into a land of our own. So, you know, I'm just excited, and I can't wait to February 27th to hear from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I just can't wait, and I can't wait. But I will say, as you already have mentioned, Dr. Ava, is that we must go back to last Saturday and rehear the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He talked about so much, and, you know, stuff that we got to get off of us at the minute. Got to get some stuff off of us. We can't be envious of our sister. It's so much that the minister dropped, and you would have never known what he was going to say at that Nubian Leadership Circle Summit. But we know that every time he speaks, he's giving direct guidance to a particular situation, a particular spirit at a particular time. So we want to hold on to that word until we hear the next word from him at our annual convention of Saviors Day. And don't forget, go to MinisterAva.com, MinisterAva.com, because later we're going to let you know about the master's class. The master's class is coming up again, so we want to let you know about that. And, of course, if you don't know about the Final Call newspaper, go to finalcalldigital.com, finalcalldigital.com. Get your subscription because it's up with Jesus, down with Santa. And if you're going to get a gift, get the best gift, and that's the gift of knowledge. Back to you, Dr. Ava.
Oh, all praises due to Allah. Couldn't have been said better. And I would just go ahead and, so I don't get to the end of the program and forget, and just share with our listeners, I'm thrilled with the successful course, the master class entitled Weapons of Self-Destruction. And it was based on a book that I wrote that was a guide to eliminating negative forces within ourselves, for women only. We will start another master class in early 2022 that will include both men and women. But part six, which is the final chapter of the master class on weapons of self-destruction, will take place on Monday, December the 27th at 6:30 p.m. And that's Eastern Standard Time. And the title is Within Sight and Reach. Within Sight and Within Reach, The Science of Winning. The Science of Winning. And, you know, that's something that we have to, and I'll just say this quickly, we have to come to the realization of that everyone doesn't embrace success. Many people fear success. People
That's
don't
right.
feel worthy of it. People don't understand what it is. And as the minister pointed out in his talk on Saturday, and I will be lifting some of his words, he addressed our state of mind right now and made it clear what we're going to have to shed in terms of our mentality and our thought pattern as we build a new nation, because he said we want to build a nation that will live forever. And he challenged the viewers and listeners to answer the question for themselves, what kind of nation is it that you want to build? Well, we have to learn that we are the chosen of God. We have to accept that reality. And we have to accept that the victory is within sight and it is within reach. Because everything in sight is not within reach. You can look up in the sky and see an airplane, but you can't reach it. But this victory, we can not only see it if we look, we can reach it. And we have to understand the science. Science is systemized knowledge. And there is a science to be a winner, how to win and how to continue to win. So we'll be dealing that. We have a grand finale. We have some very special guests that are going to be joining us. It's going to be a wonderful evening. So just wanted to make sure we're all aware of that. And also to remind us that the book Weapons of Self-Destruction, a guidebook for women in the war against negative internal forces, is now available in print. You can get the hard copy. And all of this and the details are on MinisterAva.com. So with that said, I'm going to bring into our discussion tonight our wonderful legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, who had a major case on today, but like Brother Terrence, they make it to the mics, and I thank you both. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Pamela.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Dr. Ava and Brother Terrence, and all praises are due to Allah. Thank you so much, Sister Ava, for having me on and your wonderful comments. You know, I wanted to really bring up the December the 7th Elevated Places Network, where we had a time for justice, and we really had a very interesting show because we had two attorneys that were able to talk about litigation and the freedom of religion and how, you know, the exemptions are being litigated potentially in some of the colleges. They talked about speech and censorship. They talked about the COVID vaccine and some of the litigation that's going on, and even some of the federal laws that are being challenged as people are being laid off or terminated because of their refusal to take these illegal vaccines. So it was interesting because we had two lawyers. We had our brother, Brother Joseph Mockendahl, and we also had an attorney by the name of Kevin Berry, who's out of New York, and he works for a firm that was referred to in the New York Magazine as the anti-shutdown lawyers because they sued New York Governor Cuomo and New York City Mayor de Blasio 16 times to open up New York City. So they really gave us a very great conversation. We, you know, we learned some things and were able to participate in a great discussion on federal First Amendment protections and federal law. So I would like to encourage everyone, if they can, to listen to that show, listen to it in the archives, because it was a pretty good show. And, you know, for tonight, I just – go ahead. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And tonight, I really – it's so interesting. I opened up the final call just a few minutes ago, and I saw that there's an article – this is December the 14th edition. There's an article entitled The Impact of Wrongful Convictions, and it's written by our brother Gregory Muhammad. And it really was on point with something that was on my heart because he talks about the impact of wrongful convictions. And, you know, we know that there's a nonprofit organization called the Innocence Project. And that project, the article goes on to discuss about how 362 people in the United States who had been previously convicted, you know, and because of this, you know, they've been exonerated due to false evidence and due to this project digging in and using DNA to exonerate people. So they say 362 people since 1992 had been exonerated. And so it was really interesting because I saw an article today, and this goes to the root of the problem, which is how indigent people, and lots of times that's black people, are denied ineffective assistance of counsel. And this article that I'm looking at from NBC News, and they were explaining how the Supreme Court is getting ready to take up a appeal where it's dangerous because this appeal may limit the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution, which gives people the right to counsel. And then when it comes to indigent people, such as, you know, poor people who can't afford to hire lawyers and the state appoints you a lawyer, well, you have to have effective assistance of counsel. And this is one of the problems that is plaguing our community, because a lot of times indigent people are not getting counsel that, you know, really investigates. They don't have the resources. They don't have the time. They may not even have the heart or the inclination. So you have innocent people, as in this Supreme Court case. They're talking about the 186 people on death row, or formerly on death row since 1973, that new evidence was produced to show that they had been wrongfully convicted. So now you've got the state of Arizona trying to limit the ability of people who were wrongfully convicted because they didn't have effective assistance of counsel. They want them to be locked in to these unjust sentences and even limited in their ability to raise these issues, Sister Ava. And it's really near to our heart, I think, as black people and as, you know, Muslims, because in trying to serve our community, we know that, you know, sometimes we got to serve our families. We have to, you know, look out for the rights of those who can't advance them themselves. You know, they got this thing in law where they talk about pro bono, and you get pro bono hours. Yeah. Where in our community, you know, a lot of pro bono work is sometimes necessary, and that's why it's so important what the minister is teaching us about nation building, you know, so we can combine our resources. So I just wanted to raise that because it's very important, and I think all of us know somebody who may have gotten railroaded because they didn't have effective assistance of counsel. And then what happens is that they get convicted, and they can't even really bring it up because if it wasn't given, if they didn't get good service, then they just didn't get good service. And so, you know, like in this case, they talk about how this lawyer, he never investigated the state's theory. You know, they don't go out like we saw in the Rittenhouse cases and different things where these lawyers are really turning, leaving no stone unturned. And oftentimes our people just aren't getting this type of service. So I just wanted to raise that because I think we better know we really do have to separate and encourage the righteousness that the minister is telling us, because these courts are coming. They're not presenting friendly. Like in the article, it says that it looks like the Supreme Court might be openly hostile to allowing defendants to challenge things, state convictions, because kind of like, well, if you were convicted, you were just convicted, you know, too bad, so sad. That's me saying that, and that's just not just. That's not just. So I wanted to raise that issue because, you know, this is very important, and like I said, the brother in the final call, I think it's his article, Brother Gregory Muhammad is speaking on that very subject as well. So that's what I wanted to share tonight, Sister Ava.
Yes, ma'am, and that's so critical because we are treated so harshly, so the treatment of black people defies description in this country, and it's somewhat covered with this blanket of modern technology. Makes it appear a little less horrendous than it is because of the fact that we're not in slave cabins and sleeping on the ground. Yeah. And visual lynchings are not as common. They still occur, but they're not as common. And so there's this false impression that we have achieved some level of equality. But, you know, that article you're lifting for us points out that, you know, we're so fixated on police killings because we're the only ones that suffer that, just being gunned down in the street. So we have to put all our resources into fighting cases like Ahmaud Arbery, you know, or Tamir Rice. And we don't necessarily have the freedom of thinking and mulling over things to come to the realization that that's at the worst end, But we're suffering like that through every part of the whole spectrum of the so-called American justice system. And like you're pointing out, there are literally hundreds of thousands of us who are not physically dead, but we've been robbed of our lives.
That's right.
Because we're unjustly incarcerated. And not only can you be arrested on trumped-up charges, then convicted of trumped-up charges, but then you can ultimately, as I've seen occur so many times, particularly with young black men, once you're convicted and incarcerated, you enter this whole other unjust world inside an unjust world. And then you find yourself getting into trouble within the walls of these so-called correctional facilities. You may get in a fight with someone, you know, because you're living now in an environment that is utterly savage. And the probability that you're going to have some sort of violent encounter, either with another inmate, with a correctional person or somebody, is very high. Then you end up getting more time tacked on. And then there are these petty institutional rules that if you violate those, it could have something to do with being at a meal on time.
Yes,
and ma'am. And you actually have time added on to your conviction, but you don't get to go in front of a jury to hear that case.
Right.
That's right. Something unilaterally imposed by prison officials and security guards or people that just don't like you. And they have, it's political in there too.
Yes,
you know, based on who's in with the correctional facility. So this is endless, and there is no way out of this except a complete disconnect, separation.
Yes, ma'am.
The best and only solution.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
That's right.
So I appreciate
that's right.
Yeah, I appreciate right, that report. Now,
appreciate you. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Now, the minister, just to open up this segment on what was said to our people on Saturday, I'm just going to lift this, and the callers are free to talk about this or anything they wish, but I would love to hear their takeaway because it is so rare we hear from the minister live and see him live like that. But he said, beloved family, I hope I'm not disturbing us in a negative way. I want us to see how difficult it is for us to meet and be successful in what we're doing when inside of us there is a boiling cauldron of like for each other. And that comes out every time we try to do something together, we end up destroying it ourselves. Not that we are the destroyer. It's the enemy operating in us that is making us self-destructive. We become traitors of one another. We become stool pigeons. We become the agents of our enemy against our own rise. What kind of nation do we envision? Do you know that God, who created life, didn't make it so complex? Really, to live right is simple. It is the burden of unrighteousness that bends us toward a lower level of human existence. Righteousness exalts a nation. I didn't say religion because we have used religion as a crutch. And if the religion does not make us better, does not cultivate the divine essence of our being, then that's the religion of the enemy. But the religion of God is what lifts us up and cultivates the greatness of God that he has put, not in some of us, but in all of us. But to go back to that statement, and we see it in the church, in the mosque, in the home, in our organizations, in the workplace, this fact that there is a boiling cauldron of dislike for each other. You know, what is that? What's causing that? And why do we think that that persists, even in the face of all of this truth that's been revealed to us? And I want to lift later, too, what he said with regard to the coronavirus and our response to that. But I skipped over something, Sister Pamela, I meant to mention, and Brother Terrence, and then I wanted to hear from you all on what I just read and then open to the callers. But I do want to remind us or notify us, if we didn't know, that the U.S. Senate yesterday passed a resolution to repeal the Biden vaccine mandates that were scheduled to go into effect soon. And it was a vote of 52-48. This whole COVID-19 so-called pandemic has been divided almost straight down party lines. And it has interestingly been the Democratic Party pushing all of these, the vaccines, all of the so-called mitigating protocols such as lockdowns, has primarily come from the Democratic Party. But this, Biden vaccine mandate was 100% Republican. Every Republican in the Senate voted for it, and then two Democrats. So I just wanted to bring that up as well.
Very interesting.
And just in case, some of the listeners don't know what that mandate is, this was a law that they're trying to pass requiring private sector businesses to make their, if they employ 100 people or more, you would be required to make your employees either get a vaccination or regularly get tested. And I want to add this too. 76% of the country, ages 5 and above, have had at least one vaccination. So you tell me why we still have an epidemic. Also, natural immunity, what God gave you, is no longer recognized. They've redefined immunity in the dictionary to mean vaccinated. Now, you talk about Satan confronting Allah, Iblis confronting him in the Quran. We're living it now. And also, as you all know, the federal courts have already blocked enforcement of the mandates previously for the federal workers and government workers from the Biden administration. So I just wanted to make that known that there is a major fight going on. So when he said the unraveling of a great nation, it literally went into play 2 weeks after Savior's Day 2020 message.
And Dr. Ava, I don't really think people really understand. Well, let me say this. Some people understand what you just said, but let's go a little bit deeper. When you have a government and this whole issue of this country, white folks do not like government telling them what to do. And the reality of this is the regular average white Joe. They hate when government tells them what to do, and this is those militias. But then on the other side of that, there are other, like the rich, wealthy folks do not like when government mandates you do anything. It's
come
just
on,
it, even the
right.
language of you telling me what I got to do in the private sector,
man.
They do
come
not
on.
Like that. You are actually going to war. So the deep part about this is that, you know, we can care less about parties, but let's really understand, yes, there's black and black people in both parties, black and white in both parties, but we understand that black people predominantly go with the Democrats. And because they go with the Democrats, it's the Democrats that's pushing death on our people versus the white folks in the Republican Party. And the Republican Party, like
that's
I
right.
said, don't want that which the government is putting on because they don't believe in it. They're really the ones that dictate what goes on. But it's very interesting that the party that we're supposed to be loyal to is the same party that's making sure, just like the preachers, are the ones that are making
come
sure
on.
That this is pushed on us and given to us and death, you know, in a spoon. And then we want to come around in 2022 in the midterms and really, that's who we want to support. We want to support those that are making sure we vaccinated and making sure that we got injections in us after the voice of God has spoken, don't take their vaccination. It's very interesting that people just really, really need to pay attention and look at the politics of what's really going on and who's doing what.
That's exactly right. And you know, this situation has been decades in the making. Because think about it. What state of mind is the public in? Let's backtrack to the official arrival of the COVID-19 virus, which was placed in February of 2020. Almost from the given, now they bring out this man, Anthony Fauci, and I'm going to say something about him later on because there's a book out on him by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that is a bestseller. It's on the New York Times bestseller list, Amazon, Wall Street Journal, complete 500-page exposure of Satan in a man, Anthony Fauci. But we were told, if you recall, that the government was putting in place lockdowns, shelter. They use a softer term called shelter in place, which is another way of saying lockdown. You were not permitted to be out of your house or to go anywhere except to get food or to get go to the pharmacy to get drugs. Now, the people were told that if they did this for 2 weeks, that it would bring a slowdown or stop to the spread. Simultaneously, the healthcare workers who were out on the front line as this, quote, novel virus was spreading, the whole subject came up of protection of the healthcare workers. And if you all remember, there was a need to, that we were told they needed to have masks on so that they would not catch the virus from the countless sick people that were coming into the hospitals, particularly in New York City. And in fact, at the time, that's the only place it really was in New York City. And there were some cases in the Northwest United States, in Seattle, Washington, and then in California. And they were talking about cruise ships that were having these outbreaks. But there was no coast-to-coast or north and south, east and west epidemic at the time. Okay. So when this mask issue came up, and they needed two things they kept talking about, mask for the workers and then ventilators to put patients on because no one knew what this thing was. All that they knew was that people were unable to breathe. when they presented at the hospital. If you came and you were sick and feverish and coughing and fatigued and all that, you were sent back home. The only people being admitted were people that couldn't breathe. And they were whisked to the back of the hospital. And if you had a spouse or a parent or a child or a relative or someone close to you that had to go to the emergency room because they couldn't breathe and they were admitted to the hospital, you never saw them again because they shut down the visit. Nobody could visit their family. You had no idea what was being done behind those closed doors. So in the midst of all of this, this person, heretofore unknown to most of the public, was introduced by the Trump administration, and his name is Dr. Anthony Fauci. And in a very short time, he became the face on the television who was presented as the savior, the person who is guiding us through this shocking situation that the United States had never dealt with. Countries around the world were always dealing with outbreaks, dealing with wars, dealing with natural disasters and all kinds of things, hunger, all these kinds of things that in the United States was virtually unknown to the public. So this man comes on and he becomes overnight the man to listen to, the man to take guidance from. Why? Because the media said so. Because every channel on your TV was Dr. Fauci, Dr. Fauci, what Dr. Fauci said. In the beginning, Dr. Fauci said, you all don't need, meaning the public, you don't need to wear masks. So don't go out and buy them and take them because there's a shortage. Leave those for the healthcare workers. And he actually said in an interview, well, it makes people, somebody asked him how effective are the masks. He said, it makes people feel better to wear them. This is in March. But by May, they got their supplies of masks in, and it went from they make people feel better to being necessary to now being required, being mandated. Now, keep in mind that after the initial days of it, there were several businesses, because remember, they closed down all of the businesses, the stores, the restaurants. They closed down the churches, the mosques, the schools. And people were told that probably the most dangerous people to your health are your relatives. So don't go and visit grandma. Don't see your auntie, your cousin. You know, just stay in the house with whoever already lived there. And we are working feverishly on a vaccination for this horrendous virus that's killing the globe, okay? And if you just cooperate with us, then the minute we get this vaccination ready, we'll have it available for you, and you get your shot, and life will go back to normal. And they created a psychological state of fear and terror in the public. And that enabled them to begin to roll out all of these oppressive, draconian laws. 99% of what they have done to the people since the outset of this have nothing to do with health. Nothing. Now, during this whole time, you know who never closed? Never closed. They shorten their hours, but they never close. Walmart. Walmart.
Come on.
Never closed.
Listen.
The other vendor never closed during this whole pandemic is liquor stores.
Definitely listen. Come on.
So the major grocery chains had very brief hours. You remember when people were lined up outside the supermarkets? When they finally let the grocery stores open, I think they weren't even open for 2 weeks, but Walmart never shut down.
Listen.
So if we look, as Brother Terrence said, you got to look deeper into things. If you look at this entire epidemic in America, so you have to say to yourself, look, either there's something out here killing everybody or there's not. If there's something out here that's serious, look at China. When China shut down, you weren't even allowed to go in your yard garbage. The police and security people in the army, they wore hazmat suits like outer space. And they came to your door to get your trash. You didn't go nowhere. In America, in California, you could come out and walk your dog. So there's a deadly virus in the air. But you can come out and walk your dog. But you can't
do anything
else.
Yeah, because you need to do that.
Except, yeah, but you can do that. But you can drive.
So that's important.
That's critical.
Right,
but you can
right.
drive to the pharmacy to get your prescriptions. Okay? So then let's back up. How does Walmart stay open? Could
Listen.
It be due to the fact that the only employer bigger than Walmart is the U.S. government?
Mm.
And Walmart is running neck and neck with the U.S. government? There is nobody in the United States that lives more than 10 miles from a Walmart. One of the richest entities on this planet. And yet most of their workers get food stamps and are on Section 8.
Come on, come on, come on.
The liquor stores, why are they open? Because if you close them, you're going to have crazy people in the streets because that's the kind of citizenry you have. See, you can get your drugs and your alcohol regardless to whom or what. Either there's a pandemic or there's not. But I went off on that long tangent to say that this was the door to bring in as what Brother Terrence, you just talked about, Sister Pamela just referenced in terms of being incarcerated. And the Sixth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution is on its way out the door because fascism, totalitarianism is in America. Democracy's been gone.
That's right.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan taught back in the 90s. He said the U.S. government has been hijacked by multinational corporations. So going back to what you mentioned about party loyalty, Brother Terrence, see, we actually think we choose the president. We think we choose the councilmen, the congressmen, the mayor. We think we're picking these people. Big Pharma is the largest lobby in Washington, D.C. Big Pharma put Donald Trump in there, and they put Joe Biden in there. But Donald Trump could not stay there because he went rogue, because, as you said, Brother Terrence, white America, the real white America, not the East Coast, West Coast white America, the middle of the country.
Come on.
You
That's
are
right.
not going to tell them what they can do. Now, you let the government in, go in the state of Texas and go door to door and try to make somebody take a vaccine, a vaccination. Go door to door in Texas. You'll get your head blown off. That's what's going to happen.
That's right.
Send some federal agents in Arizona to some of these crackers' door and say you're going to make them get vaccinated. Trust and believe. Your head is going to be separated from your shoulders. And that's
no
why
hesitation.
This country is in turmoil, in conflict. And one man called it right before
right.
it went down. He wasn't speaking rhetorically when he said the unraveling of a great nation. Great nation. Great meaning consequential. Because when this puppy goes down, it's all over for Caucasian people. Period. Period. And so
That's right.
we have an obligation to stop equivocating. See, when he said don't take that vaccine, that was a major test and remains one for us. But then everything attendant to the vaccine is also proving to have death in it. Tests for COVID is as deceptive and deadly as the vaccine is. And why wouldn't it be? Because the ultimate goal, as Minister Farrakhan has singularly been teaching us and teaching our people for years and teaching humanity, is depopulation. The Bill Gates of the world, these people have a goal of getting rid of most of the indigenous people on this planet. That's what the war is. And if you have a doubt about who Minister Farrakhan is, and if you want to think we're some kind of cult following him, you better pump your brakes and study history and bring it right up to today. You don't have to study no long old history. Study recent history. Just start with the Million Man March and use your brain. And ask yourself, what happens to any black person that even points out racism? And here's a black man that calls and 2 million black men come and gather and shut the Capitol down. And you're not asking yourself, wait a minute, maybe there's a higher power here. They gunned down black people so much less than what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has said in their
That's
face.
Right.
What the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has said to them in your face, and both of them, him and his teacher, they've been telling him for 90 years, bring it. How come they haven't brought it?
That's right.
But I'm not going to take it the whole night running my mouth. But we need to answer that question in our own mind. Because some of us don't believe this.
Come on.
We want to pick and choose from this teaching what we like, what fits in with our schedule, what fits in with our comfort level.
Right.
And who are we that we get to just walk into the promised land? We're not picking cotton. So why do we get this? Where's our demonstrated commitment that we should be the beneficiaries of all the death, all the suffering right up to this moment, and we can't even follow an instruction not to die? We see that there's a medication called ivermectin that comes from the soil of Japan that wipes out pandemics. And the same FDA, the same devil that approved ivermectin, gave it a Nobel Prize, is telling you, oh, that's for animals. Let's stop being an idiot. Every drug and vaccine is tested on mammals before it's approved for human use. Except the COVID vaccine. Ivermectin is safe and effective, and yet some of us are out here sounding just like the devil, saying the same thing the devil said. That's for animals. Yeah, he's like some damn parrot. Whatever this cracker says on TV, we run around, won't read nothing, won't read the Final Call newspaper. And if we read something, we're so immersed in a slave mentality that we can't accept what a black person says if a white person says something different. And what's up under that is a disbelief that God came here to free us, because we don't believe we're worthy of it. So black inferiority has always been and remains an enemy to our freedom, justice, and equality. And the less you think of yourself, the less you think of your brother and sister, up to and including the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, despite all that he has done and achieved on our behalf, and never asked us for nothing, and never lied to us, ever. But he gives an instruction or directive, and we're questioning it. What do you mean by that? What's he talking about? He needs to stay in his lane. He's not a doctor. He shouldn't be telling people to get a vaccination or not. But first of all, I got news for you. MDs don't know anything about vaccination.
Come on.
They don't develop and research and develop vaccines. They just prescribe things.
That's right.
They just shoot it in your arm. They didn't research it and make it. That's the world of biologists, microbiologists, virologists. Those are scientists. But the medical profession has been reduced, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, from a culture. It's not a culture of healing. It's a culture of drugs. So this National Medical Association and a lot of these Negroes in it, they're nothing but a parrot, a mouthpiece for the devil. And you got the nerve to call black people to get shot with this death. You couldn't even explain what's in that vaccine because you have no idea. Because you're not in the inner circle. You're not there when they put this concoction together. You don't know what it is. But you're willing to come on TV, a sports analyst. What, you're a sports analyst. You're a comedian. Attacking people because we say don't take it. You shouldn't even be talking about it. And you're going to tell somebody to stay in their lane. You stay in yours, clown. Need to go on back to the field hand. And as the minister said, stand down, Negro. Well, he didn't say Negro. But he told the civil rights leadership 11 years ago, stand, if you stand,
right,
just be quiet, right?
That's right.
Nobody's even asking you to stand up and be a man, be a woman, and fight. We're just asking you to be quiet and stop being a traitor.
That's right.
Well, I'm so sorry. This is the second week in a row I did this. Let me.
Oh, no. You just told it, and the Elevated team is back here in the corner shouting and saying, go ahead. We in the choir stand. I thought somebody was going to hit that note on the organ and start playing the note you were going in so deep.
That's
and
right.
I just think, you know, but I think what you're laying out is that it's, you know, when we say you're the national spokesperson, you know, God has spoken. The voice of God has spoken, and you're that spokesperson, and you are reiterating it. You're actually doing the call. It's almost like you are the final call. Like, did y'all not hear? Did y'all? And you're making it clear. Because to understand that you need to listen because the instructions, the warning, the guidance has been given, but you want to go over here and look at him, and then you want to question the guidance and the warning for your life, and you want to go trust your open enemy or the enemy that doesn't have any knowledge of what needs to be done. So that comes out of that spirit as we are continuing to watch and hear. Just like I'm in L.A., you know, I got to the hotel, they're like, oh, this restaurant said you got to have a vaccination card before you come down to eat. And I'm so good. I can go to my room because I want to come down anyway. Thank you. That helps me out. I'm like, oh, y'all require vaccination? Good. I ain't got to go there. I ain't got to come here. I ain't got to do nothing. I'm wearing my mask because I ain't catching what y'all got. So I ain't got it, but y'all got injected with it. So I'm wearing my stuff, and I'm staying away from y'all. Oh, this is where vaccinated people are? Okay, let me go the other way.
Jeez, that's right. Praise be to Allah. Woo, what a time we live in.
Yes,
we're gonna go to the phone and have our callers weigh in. And, of course, right at the top is Brother Daryl. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Daryl.
Wa alaykum salam, Sister Dr. Ava, and to Brother Terrence and Sister Pamela and Sister Ronan and those that are listening. Sister Ava, you are something else. I love you because you are on it. Because whether we get on to ask you a question or whatever, keep doing what you're doing because you don't have enough time in the every Thursday that you come on. So when you teach like you are doing the spokesman for Minister Farrakhan. I was loving it. Everything I would like to ask you to cover it. Like you saying, we are coming in, say we love Minister Farrakhan, but we walk in suspicious and doubt. And I'm here to say my firstborn and took my babies and got vaccinated yesterday after you said that you trust in God, but you're going to tell me you're in fear, and I'm just dumbfounded. You was born on Master Farah Muhammad's birthday, and you are 47 years old, and you took my baby and had vaccinated yesterday out of fear. So it hurts to know that our family, Sister Ava, and I pray that our listeners are listening, and every time Allah bless me to get on the phone and I hear a black voice, I tell them, go straight to 2020, July 4th, because this thing is real. We are at war. We're worrying about what this cracker saying about over in other countries. Yes, that's going to happen, like the minister said, but we're at war right here in America. And our babies and our family, Sister Ava, I have to say it, we got believers right here changing their names and man, they damn crackers. You hear me? This is what's going on. Say we love Allah. And we betrayed our own people, your family. You are out here decorating and acting a damn fool with these crackers and getting high, and you're taking our babies to hell. It hurts to hear that my daughter took my grandchildren and had no best after I told her. Then she called me last night at 3 in the morning. Daddy, I know you're going to be upset, and I already felt it. What are you talking about? I felt that we were going to get sick. I just told you. Do not take that vaccination.
Oh, my God.
And you take my babies and had them vaccinated yesterday. It hurt. So we're at war. And I can't wait to save. I pray out of the ignorance of our people, Allah have mercy on those that took the shot, especially our children, our babies.
Oh,
you allow this cracker to put that poison in our children, and you trust that, but yet you say you believe in Jesus, you believe in the wrong Jesus, because Jesus ain't told you to do that yesterday. That's the devil working with you in the fear. But as you said about our children, and I'm like you said about boy being railroad, I have a nephew right now, and I'm glad you brought that up. He got 40 to 50 years for something he didn't do. When they arrested him here in Pensacola and took him over 7 years ago, and said that he messed with his niece, and he said he didn't. He was the cleanest person in this county here in Pensacola when they arrested my nephew. He did not have any disease. He was the cleanest one in there. And when they got him back to Detroit, they saying that the girl had chlamydia. Why didn't you pull his records and show that he had nothing? Whoever his sisters from his mother, from another father, they always, they're alcoholists. They had all kind of people running in and out the house. Why didn't you pull that up and check, and he's a special need child, and gave him 40 to 50 years? Saying that he went back in his history, showing that it goes back to our ancestors, that this semen matched, and you didn't even find nothing, and he didn't have no chlamydia. So this is what's going on. Our children are getting railroaded, and I'm thinking that we serve a living God. And I told my nephew, he said, I won't even get a chance to see my grandmother. And he found out she passed away. He said, I might die up. And I said, no, you're going to be all right. Because everybody is being railroaded, Sister Ava. And they can't, and they catching
That's
cases
correct.
Over petty. So like I just said, they can't even go to court while they're in jail to defend themselves about them catching. So it's a vicious cycle. I don't want to be on the soapbox, but this thing has to stop. And I pray Allah let us be free as soon as possible, because this thing is out of order. I'm fighting them right now with the insurance company with my home. These are devils. Allah brought the hurricane through. He saved my home, but it got damaged. But I'm fighting the crackers to pay off what they owe. Now they're using my mother's name because she's dead now, and now they're trying to put it in probate. It's nothing but keeping us broke. Now I got to pay out of my pocket off of the insurance, and by the time I do get anything, like the real estate lady said, you'd be lucky to get anything. So we're at war. They don't want us to have nothing. But I want to get off the soapbox. But we got to separate. And I love you. And
we
please,
have to. Yes, sir.
All our
love
listeners,
you
stay
too,
safe. Man. But I'm going to stop going around my family. But we have to be careful what's going on throughout the nation with our people. I love you. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. And I'll say this to Brother Daryl and all of us, most of us, I know me, I do, my husband does, we have blood relatives whom we love dearly that have submitted to this vaccination. And, I can barely sleep some nights thinking about some of my family members, but I was so relieved when the minister said, recently to some of us that, and he'll say it more, he'll say it again, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, brother, the God told me he's not going to let our people go down with the devil. And the
yes,
minister
ma'am.
Then said, he said, Master Farid Muhammad is going to save most of our people. And, yes. you know, we won't get into it tonight, but if we just do what we're told and what we're given, you know, in most of our cities, we pass out this little card, this 4x6 card, and on the front is how to eat to live. And on the back is a treatment protocol that's not only for COVID, but for any viral or bacterial infection. He is giving us life in their midst. How to eat to live on one side, which is the hereafter. That's the new way of life. That's staying here for up to 1,000 years. On the backside is our current problem. And he's saying, look, I'm telling you to leave the vaccine alone, but just do these simple things.
Right.
And you will be fine. And you know what? We're all going to leave here. All of us, without exception, are going to go out of here. We don't know how, but to fear a virus like you should fear Allah, that's unacceptable. Look at what the minister said in that talk on Saturday. He said, you are so afraid to die because you feel if you took the vaccine, you could stave off the coronavirus. So you're frightened. How can you be of God and be afraid?
Right.
Fear is not a companion of righteousness. When you are afraid, it doesn't mean you are weak. God is going to try us with something of fear. But my teacher told me that God never created a creature that he was afraid of. And every creature, he said, fears God. So when you and I know that we are direct descendants of God, now listen to this, the creatures are willing to bow to us if we bow to God. So the virus is a created thing. He said it came from heaven.
Hmm.
Now you think if Allah sends something here to get you, you're gonna hide under the bed and it's not gonna find you? He said in the criterion, the solution is to repent. Ain't no mask gonna save you if you're bathed in sin and following
That's
God's
right.
enemy. We did certain things for a certain time because we obey those in authority over us, whether we agree with them or not. But don't get it twisted. Don't take obedience to authority as divine.
Mm.
Go That's back right. and pay attention to all of his words. Stop pulling out segments and fixing them with our own damaged perception of reality and making everything fit our craziness. I'm sorry.
No, beautiful.
I keep
teaching.
Apologizing.
Thank you.
I need to stop instead of apologizing. I need to just behave myself.
Oh, so
but,
the spirit, the spirit of the Lord is on us tonight. That's all.
Sister Ava.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, Sister Attorney.
Well, you know, earlier you asked the question about the boiling cauldron of dislike that the minister referenced
yeah.
about, you know, our inability to work together. And to me, you know, one of the things he said is how he said the sickest of our people I love. And, you know, to me, that's that spirit mm-hmm. of, you know, humility and love and looking beyond faults and looking at the needs of our people that sometimes, as he talked about the jealousy and the sin, you just mentioned the need to repent. And, you know, I think those are the things that cause us to dislike each other because, you know, to me, elitism is a real issue that, you know, the enemy's operating system is in us. So integration, you know, caused us to look at ourselves through the enemy's eyes sometimes. And so we're, you know, the perception, you know, is just off. So, you know, the arrogance, the pride, the pretentiousness that's causing a lot of this division, you know, with one another. And, you know, so that's something that I see as being an impediment and causing us to dislike each other. And even when you look at, and this is my last thing, but when you look at the results of all that torture and abuse and, you know, with the prisons and you know, the racism and the disrespect that we get from this enemy, and then we turn that on, we turn it within, and then we turn it, you know, on each other. So I think you and I were talking, too, about the whole study guide and the resurrection and just that need to just dig those things out of ourselves. So, yes, ma'am.
Praise be to Allah.
All
yes,
praise
ma'am.
To Allah. Yes, ma'am.
Ooh, and you're right. You said something really powerful. His operating system is in us. You know, the mRNA vaccine isn't the beginning. It's the end of his diabolical plan. It's the
yes,
last
ma'am.
Thing he did. Because you're right. I mean,
yes,
he's
ma'am.
Been working on this for a long, long time.
Yes,
at
and I think you quoted.
Channel 7. Mm-hmm.
I think you quoted the minister said that the enemy is operating in us. Is that not correct?
Yes,
I thought
ma'am.
I heard you say that. Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
so.
Ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, the phrase operating system, that's how they refer to the vaccine.
Okay, yes,
and,
ma'am.
And that's what's so
yes,
profound.
Ma'am.
They're telling us in our face.
Yes, ma'am.
The, you know, Pfizer's officials have not been out in the public, but yesterday the CEO of Pfizer was on the Today Show. And, you know, I would not have believed if I hadn't heard. He said you'll probably need 3 booster shots.
Yes, ma'am.
So now we're up to 5 doses of something. And it hasn't even been out for a year yet. But
yes,
yet, once you swallow, I'm going to pull up that quote we had from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the COVID section. I had it with the PCR article, the swab test article, how the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, the white man comes at you with semi-bait. He baits you. You know, so you say if you do this, like the minister said Saturday, Satan took Jesus up on a mountaintop. Now, I'll
right.
give you all,
yes,
and, you know, if you bow to me. So, you know, just take the vaccine and everything will be back to normal. Well, people lined up, they took it, and now he's telling you, oh, my bad, it didn't really work. And here comes
right.
the Delta variant, the Omicron variant. You know, the Susie variant, the Bobby variant, whatever. So you're going to need boosters. But the man is on a teleconference with the investors that's open to the public, telling them we're going to make a fortune off these vaccines. Pfizer made $36 billion in less than a year. And they're just getting started. And that's just Pfizer. That's not Moderna and J&J and AstraZeneca over in Europe. But yes, ma'am, we have to remember that. And this is what our people are in the – God gave us something through the minister called self-improvement, the basis for community development, to purge us of these inner thoughts and feelings that are the residue of slavery and mistreatment that make us act this way toward each other. But all praise is due to Allah. So we have on the line, I'm happy to see she's with us because this sister is well known to this program and a high achiever herself. She's the host and moderator of our monthly Zoom program entitled Building Our Own Promised Land. Building it. Nothing spooky. We're going into promised land, but we have to build it up once we get on the land. First, we have to acquire the land. And then it is on us, as the minister said, we are the descendants of God. And I'm talking about Sister Donna Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Donna.
Wa alaykum salam. All praise is due to Allah for your kind words and the power that you brought. You are truly the national spokesperson, the student national spokesperson. You make it clear and plain. And really, the program could have ended right there. We would have all walked away satisfied. But just in speaking with into what you brought up at the top of the hour, as Sister Attorney Pamela brought up, I wanted to just make a quick point on that. As you were asking, you know, that boiling cauldron in us, the minister also referenced the culture, what's being promoted. Mm. And I thought about that as I was watching some TV the other night. There's no program, no matter how innocuous the program may seem, you know, so-called family-oriented or teen program, that there is not elements of that which is opposed to God in every so we're constantly bombarded. There's nothing innocent in any of the programs. So it's around us. He talked about the culture, even the rapping, the songs that's in there. So there's this constant bombardment, and then we take that on. We start to act like that. And he said, you know, it's not really our fault. It's the environment that we're in. So we got to come up out of it. We have to start removing ourselves from it. So I wanted to say that about that. And then just real quickly in regards to COVID and depopulation. And I was working on a little graphic project. I was looking for images. And I went to a site that I have an account with that I normally get my graphics from. And so I typed in, I always type in keywords. I typed in depopulation. And lo and behold, the images that came up, like the first several pages, was people getting vaccinated, black people getting vaccinated.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Wow.
Then I typed in search African-American population, not depopulation. I put in African-American population. Same set of pictures came up. Pages and pages of images of black people being vaccinated and shot. That's what came up under population and depopulation and African American population. I was flabbergasted.
Wow.
I was
completely
flabbergasted. And then I was like, okay, well, maybe, you know, it's stealing my cookie or something in the cash. I'm going to completely exit the site and then go back in. Clear out the cookies because maybe when I put in African-American population, you know, something was still in there.
Wow.
The benefit of the app, I don't know why, but no. Same results. So
They're telling us.
They're telling us. And this is just a site for that you go to that you get assets, creative assets, like documents, you know, videos, pictures, stock art, stock photos.
Yes.
So also, and then the last thing is, of course, we know that America's response to this pestilence from heaven is laying bare her weaknesses, her inherent weaknesses and her infrastructures. We know that we've been experiencing these supply chain issues, right? It is just been a block. So I discovered this past week because we have a 2021 vehicle that we had just got several months ago, and a branch went through the sunroof, and we're trying to get the glass for it. It just keeps getting delayed because of the backup from the manufacturer. So I went to the site of the company that is responsible for supplying most of the glass to these automakers around, and they put the reasons they put on there why they're experiencing supply chain issues. And one of the biggest reasons is because a lot of the glass is being diverted to make the vials for the coronavirus vaccine.
Oh.
Resulting in a glass shortage. So our vehicle's been there 2 months. There's stories of others that have been there 4, 5, and 6 months. We don't even have an end in sight when we're going to get our vehicle back. Because the Ford part company can get glass. They can't give updates. Because of vaccine vials. For the millions of doses. There were like lots of glasses needed for the millions of doses. So this is the fall of America.
And they have vaccinated three-fourths of the United States, and still we don't have herd immunity. Mm-hmm. And natural immunity has been rejected, which is God's way, that whenever a pathogen attacks your body, your immune system will arise and put it down, and from that time forward, it will instantly obliterate that pathogen and its variants.
Mm-hmm.
When it shows up again, they don't. That's not recognized anymore.
Yeah, that's out the window.
So even if you had COVID and recovered, you still have to be vaccinated. Not once
right.
or twice, but now five times.
Right.
Pfizer said you need three boosters. Three. And how did you come up with a shot for a virus that you just found a month ago?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, how are you identifying Omicron since you've never identified COVID-19? According to you, they admitted they have never isolated COVID-19. They made the COVID test from a common cold virus. That's why so many people test positive. Because everybody has some genome or particle of a cold, because almost everybody's had one at some time in their life. But that's deep about that glass. Wow.
That's all I yes, wanted ma'am. To hear, but I'm like, oh, my God. That
yes,
makes, of course, you, that made me more furious.
Yes, ma'am. But thank you so much.
So thank you
much.
For this opportunity.
Wow.
Okay. Yes, assalamu
alaikum. Now, before I go to the next caller, Sister Attorney Pamela located that quote from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That I had in that article on the test, and I want to read this. This is from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, The Fall of America. What has been known as America is threatened today with total destruction. America is destroying herself in her effort to destroy her black slave. The water and air of America are being polluted by chemical bacteriologists. America's scientists of war conduct dreadful experiments to kill human beings by the millions and wipe out the life of whole continents. These are the days of fulfillment of prophecy of not one, but many calamities. But in all of these preparations of destruction of human life by the devil, Allah God too has plans to save his people. So this Brother Daryl and all of us and me and all of us that have loved ones that have succumbed and taken our babies with them to this vaccine, remember, we just have to continue to pray to the God in the person of Master Fard Muhammad, because he has plans to save his people. And this is written 50 years ago by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Okay, so let's go to the line. We have Brother Michael, and he's got a comment for us. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Michael.
Well, alaykum salam, Sister Ava. How are you and the panel doing this evening?
Oh, we're doing fine, beloved. What about you?
That's great. I'm doing okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to make a comment. Now, I just came in at the end of the show because I had some prior engagements, but earlier today, now this is crazy, earlier today on CNN, Matt Gaetz had the press conference. Marjorie Taylor Greene got up there and had the nerve to say that the prisoners, quote unquote, from January 6th, they aren't getting the proper respect, and they aren't getting the they aren't being treated properly. She had the nerve to mention this. That I think these were her exact words. She said that the prisoners, January 6th prisoners, shouldn't have to be, shouldn't have to be exposed to the final call. And I was like, whoa. This is on CNN now, noon. You know, the final call newspaper has been approved in all of the federal prisons in the United States and in other parts of the world. Well, in Washington, D.C., in this private prison that these people are in, or this jail or whatever, the final call is circulating. So she said they shouldn't have to be exposed to it. My thing is, they should be exposed to it, because that's the only truth they're going to ever get, because they've been getting lied to all this time by their own people. You know what I'm saying? So my whole thing is, the final call is the best thing that they could get their hands on, and if they were smart, they'd be actually listening to the news that's in the final call, instead of worrying about these anchors and these newspapers that's just giving half truths all the time. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there because, you know, once again, you know, that just shows me that everything that the minister said, starting with the criterion in 2020, it's been ruffling their feathers every single day up until now.
Every day.
Every single day up until now. So he's definitely in the psyche of America, whether they want him to be or not. But that was a testament to me when that got brought up. I was like, wow. So, yeah, I just had to call into the show and say that because,
oh,
you know,
so
that just goes to show, you know what I'm saying, that Allah is in power today.
You know, that's so profound on so many levels, because Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think I have an idea what happened. She sort of released this Twitter storm a month or so ago after visiting some of her, constituents in jail for that January 6th attack. And she saw the final call on the table, because as you said, it's available in all the correctional facilities, and we had some legal battles in the 90s over this, but
yes ma'am, I followed all of that.
And remember, she came out and talked about how she agrees with Minister Farrakhan and the nation on its posture concerning this, these COVID vaccines, and the ADL and some of these Jewish outlets went after her and started calling her an anti-Semite.
Wow.
And they said, oh,
okay,
she's hanging out with Farrakhan. And so she's an anti-Semite like him. And wow. That what that sounds like to me, and it's on CNN, is somebody told her, you better get with the program.
Yes, ma'am.
Because you don't come
Absolutely.
Out saying something positive about the Nation of Islam. You do not do that.
Absolutely. Now that you reminded me of that.
She complimented our posture on the vaccine, and she said, and especially our articles about vaccinating children.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Said she admired the minister, and she lifted the minister's quote where he said, if you come at us with your army and try to force us to take the vaccine, that is a declaration of war against all of us. So
yes,
that,
ma'am.
And I missed that. I'm glad you caught that, Brother Michael.
Yeah, and that's the thing that, yes, ma'am, and that's the thing, you know, he's speaking for the whole human family at the same time.
Go ahead.
You know, but they don't want to give him no credit for that. You know what I'm saying? They just want to make it seem like he's just talking to us. No, he's talking to us directly, but he's talking to the human family in general, and it'd be a good idea for y'all to listen to him because he hasn't been wrong yet.
Not on one thing.
That's what I wanted to say.
He hasn't missed a beat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Well, thank you
ma'am.
So much, Brother Daryl. That's a great call.
You're welcome. You're welcome,
all right,
family. Y'all have a wonderful night. As-salamu alaykum.
You too, beloved. Wa alaykum salam. Oh, that was awesome. Okay, we have also holding on the line. I lost him for a moment. There he is. Our brilliant young brother is with us tonight, Brother Kareem, with a comment. As-salamu alaykum,
Mike
Brother
Dropper.
Kareem. All right. Wa alaykum salam, sir.
How are you?
Fine, sir. What about you?
I'm good. So on these commercials, well, at least in Washington anyway, they have where they're saying how the vaccines are safe and effective, and you should trust the experts, right? And so you see this about, like, every single program. And so it's confusing because it's like, oh, if you took the vaccine, you don't have to wear a mask. 10 days later, now you got to wear a mask. Then you got to get the booster shot, then the other shot to the booster shot. And then after that,
come on.
I don't even know if it works because it's only been out for 1 year.
Look at it.
And they approved Johnson & Johnson, the same people whose baby powder was causing cancer. They're allowing people to get their vaccines.
Unbelievable. Bring that truth.
Yes. You don't think that this is, there's nothing going on. This is a perfectly safe vaccine. It takes 20 years to maybe produce a functional vaccine. And they started this. They started in March. That's when they started to develop this vaccine.
Come on.
And it came out in December. That's not even a year. And it's supposed to be safe and effective. And then it's like, oh, since this variant, now you got to take this one, and then this one, and then this one. And so sometimes you don't even know which one you're taking.
And people are doing this.
You have to wear your mask. And they're making it seem like,
and yet wear the mask.
Get vaccinated, then this is why we are not going back to normal. But they're still getting COVID. And they're still passing it along.
Exactly. and still getting sick. They're the ones in the hospital.
I like to read, like, the vaccination reports in the Final Call newspaper, and it's just thousands of people hospitalized and dying from this vaccine that's supposed to be safe and effective. Do the experts know what they're doing?
Oh, well, like it's the love. This brother, Brother Kareem, nobody brings it better than Brother Kareem. Thank you, sir. And he's reminding us of the length of time it has always taken to develop a vaccine. And they're just rolling them out one after the other. And not only are they killing people, they don't work. But what is so shocking is the state of mind that the people have been reduced to, that they keep returning for more. And I think that's why Satan can't stop himself, because he himself can't believe how he got over. But we've got one of our dear brothers on the line, one of the top fishermen in the Nation of Islam, Brother Hoyle. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Hoyle. As-salamu
alaykum. Yeah, I had to call you guys. I'm right. I'm at work. I was dropping off a radiation machine. I'm in Missouri, but I got a break. And I'm going to call my sister and my family. Praise be to Allah. I'm outside, but I'm through. I got it in the hospital, and I'm good. But I wanted to say, Sister Allah is with me. A piece of metal flew off one of the trucks and hit my cargo van, and I had a flat on the way, and I was on a bridge, a lake. And I said, well, I got real calm. And I said, Master Father Muhammad, I know you're real. And my jack broke, and I had an extra jack. And I was calm, cool, and collected, and I fixed it. So, it's just a lesson. Just be calm and trust in our living God, Master Farhad Muhammad. And I was listening to you earlier talk about the vaccine. We're praying for mercy for our people. I remember I was talking to Dr. Lean one time, Sister Ava. And he told me, he asked Minister Farrakhan about what would happen, what are we going to do about the AIDS virus? Mm-hmm. And he said, Dr. Lean responded, well, I don't know, I'm going to try my best. And Minister Farrakhan looked back at him and he said, you know what? Allah is not going to, if the devil puts something out there, Allah has something for it. And he said, that was the time, Immunex was out. The AIDS virus was out. And he told me, Mr. Farrakhan told me, Allah always has a cure for something. And lo and behold, he came up with Dr. David Koetsch with the Kimron and Immunex. And I just pray. I'm like you, Sister Ava, that a lot of my family took it, parents and some of my blood brothers, and me and my son and my nephew didn't take it, but some of my other family members took it, and friends. And I just pray Allah that we find some. I think Allah, like you said, he didn't come to kill our people, but he came to save our people. So, and I just thank Allah, and we will find something in time, but I wanted to say Memphis was voted the most dangerous city in the United States today on the news. And we have a lot of work to do. But like I said, Sister Donna knows as well, there's a lot of child murders and drive-bys that a lot of the suspects are not even found. So we know about organ trafficking, and that's a big business. Even in all major black cities, in black and brown cities, that's a real big problem. And we got to separate. But Sister Ava, I just wanted to say you were on fire. You and Dr. Ridgely kick butt Tuesday. Woo, boy. I was like Brother Terrence. I was about to get tamarine.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
So,
come on, man.
I was like, look, Brother Terrence, I was about to get that tamarine out. Y'all did an excellent job, and Sister Ava, you did a great job tonight. Everybody, Sister Donna, Sister Pamela, Brother Terrence, you always be rocking it. You get off one of them baby planes, but like I said, this final call, family, read this final call. Sister Ava, you said something very important, and I'm going to tell the listening audience. It's criminal that if you don't read this final call newspaper. It's almost criminal.
That's correct.
All this information in it. You said that last week. Family, read this paper. Like the minister said, from the rooter to the tutor, like we say in the country, from the rooter to the tutor. Read that final call.
Come on.
He said if you read this final call newspaper, you will become a scholar. You will become a scholar.
Yeah,
you rep these Negroes out
there
and whoop the fire of these
on
Negroes
the
in debates.
Level.
Yes, ma'am.
You'll be formidable against anybody, and you will enlighten. And it will really help us change the way we see ourselves.
Yes, ma'am.
Because our brain was created to think right, and we're created by a truthful God, full of truth.
Yes, ma'am.
So the more truth that is in us, the more we connect with Him. And this being mystified by this whole pandemic, that would no longer be the case. You'd be encyclopedic if you read that COVID section. And then if you're reading the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, Brother Minister Jabril, Mother Tynetta Muhammad, the international news, the activities that we're engaged in, we chronicle the crimes against us and the outcomes, and we give you news analysis. But actually, if people would even start following what we offer for the virus, they may find the researchers are finding some of those things also push back on the effects of the vaccine. And one of the things that is of tremendous value is the Navy bean.
Mm.
The Navy bean.
Beautiful.
But that's why I read from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's Fall of America that I had quoted in the paper, and Sister Pamela just found it again for me, that he said with all this wickedness, look at all the stuff he laid out. He described exactly what they're doing now. They're experimenting on us in front of us. They're actually telling us through the TV, oh, you know what, we gave you the vaccine, but it's not holding up, so we got something else for you. That's called experimentation.
That's
because
right.
I keep telling us, as we're taught, not only are they wicked, they're slow. Know what they're doing. And this is why the virus is hardly palpable on the continent of Africa. And they're so angry at black people in Africa because the majority of nations have told them where to go. Now they want to say this Omicron is out of South Africa. But look at how deaf, dumb, and blind we are. They keep telling you it's mild. The doctor that discovered it said it is unbelievably mild. So why would you need a shot? Use your common sense.
Yes,
ma'am. Why are you running to get a, you know, vaccinations are for the most extreme, highly contagious, deadly pathogens, not a virus with a 1% mortality rate. We're not worried about diabetes, which is taking us out, cancer taking us out, heart disease, kidney disease, homicide, police brutality, and the food, the fake food that
Bill Gates is saturating the nation with? Where do you see Dr. Rizzi's article in the upcoming next week's issue? It's going to blow your mind on how far they've come with the fake food. That's basically all we eat.
Man.
We have to get away from them.
That's
thank
right.
you so much.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Brother Hoyle. And we're almost out of time. We're going to take one more call. We've got Sister Marguerite has been patiently holding, and she has a comment.
Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ava Mashiro.
Oh,
one day I will grow up and be like
you.
Well, I'm in somewhat of a vegetative state. I spent two weeks with my 15 grandchildren, so I'm trying to get back
Woo.
To normal.
Oh, bless your heart.
You know, yes, ma'am.
I mean, when my
and,
two
oh.
come over for the weekend, it wears me out. 15
oh, God.
For a week.
Oh, yes.
Whoa.
2 weeks.
Ooh,
but I enjoy them. I, yes,
you're
ma'am.
You're a God. So, you're a God. Okay.
So when you were mentioning, you know, about our people, it reminded me of what the messenger said. That our people, we're like a woman who loves a man who beats her. And it just, you know, it just hurts your soul to know, you know, that our people are in this condition. But I can't remember where I got the information from, but I'm sure it's out there that the guy who is over the FDA, which is a federal agency, came from one
yes.
of those pharma. Correct? So what,
yes,
when
ma'am.
You look at the history, when you look at, you know, because I love studying history. When you look at the history, this has been happening over the decades. These people go in and out of government to big business. And from big
yes,
business
they
to
do.
Government,
back
and back
forth.
And forth.
That's right.
And it's been going on forever. So for the people to continue to think that you have a government of any kind, it's just incredibly naive, you know.
It really
so,
is.
Don't we have an article like that in the final call talking about how these people are commingled?
Yeah, we've got several mm-hmm. like that. In fact, the current the last FDA head before the current one is with Pfizer now.
Oh,
and of
yeah.
course, when you read the book, everybody should, I don't usually push books like this one, The Real Anthony Fauci by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Get it on Amazon.
It's
a big
it.
Boy. It's 500 pages. But let me tell you, he breaks it down. And the NIH, FDA, CDC, all of them, they're just puppets for multinational corporations. But I got the signal. Thank you so much, Sister Marguerite, and thank all of you who called in, who logged in. I want to thank my co-host, Brother Terrence, out in Los Angeles tonight. I want to thank Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, Sister Rona Muhammad, Sister Donna Muhammad, all of the incredible callers. May Allah bless us all with love and peace and faith. And the light of understanding, and that includes me. I need you all to pray for me, and I'm praying for you. And we
right.
won
Hallelujah.
This. We just have to take the prize. But may Allah
right.
bless us all with love and the light of understanding. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam.